as a part of the body of Christ to worship the Lord as he has asked us to do. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. They're all the angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. This is, of course, a song in the Red Book that many of you are familiar with, number 361. One of the outstanding things about this song is it reminds us of our trek on this earth. It reminds us of the purpose that we have, that this earth is not our home, that as we live on this earth, our treasures, as we, as Christians live here, we lay our treasures up above the earth. We lay our treasures above the sky. We lay our treasures in heaven. As we consider this tonight, then, to entitle this lesson, I would entitle it, A Home in This World is a Home on the Wrong Side of the Tracks. As we think about this for a minute, then, we realize that many of us are homeowners. Those of us who are not homeowners have certainly, in most cases, lived in a home. So we're familiar with this aspect of it. And let's think for a minute about a home. And when we look for a home, one of the things we consider is the neighborhood that it's in. Now, we know that there are some neighborhoods that are very good, that have many good qualities about them, and there are other neighborhoods that are a little bit more run down. Sometimes they may be dangerous. Sometimes they simply haven't been kept up very well. But many times we consider these neighborhoods, if you will, to be on the wrong side of the tracks. And this is a phrase that most of us have heard and understand what we mean when we talk about something being on the wrong side of the tracks. Let's take a minute to talk about the wrong side of the tracks and kind of create a visual image about a neighborhood like this that would be on the wrong side of the tracks. Let's take a second to talk a little bit about the homes themselves. Typically, when you think about a house that's on the wrong side of the tracks, you're thinking about a house that may not be kept up that well. It may have shutters that are falling off. Of course, in some of these cases, that may be like our own homes, or if you're kind of like me, there are things that I don't always keep up as well as I could or should. But usually these houses may need painting. There are simply several things about the houses themselves that are a little bit more run down. When we think about the yards in these neighborhoods, typically we may think about trash being in the yards a little bit. They're not real well mowed. There may be some things sitting at the curb to be taken to the trash that haven't been taken in the recent past. As we think a little bit more about the expanded neighborhood, there may be graffiti around on the walls. There may be drugs and violence in this neighborhood. It may be situations where people are standing around in the middle of the day. They don't seem to have as much employment in this area many times. And so when we think about a situation like this, many times we think about something that has less hope than what we would like. There seems to be, or there could be, somewhat a feeling of despair in neighborhoods like this. If you're a child in a neighborhood like this and you're walking past these things every day, certainly you don't have as many advantages as the child would have that lives in a little bit better neighborhood. So there's more helplessness and despair that are sometimes felt in this area. Let's take this. We've got a picture a little bit of an area and a neighborhood, and let's expand this now. Let's think about this in terms of the whole universe. And if we were to do this, we would think of the heaven. We would think of the sky, if you will, and we think of the earth in that sense. Using that analogy and using what we're talking about here, we have the picture of the sky then being the tracks in this case. We have, of course, heaven on one side of the tracks, and we have the earth on the other side of the tracks. So if we take this thought and we move it to the spiritual side, what we have is we have, of course, the earth, the world being the wrong side of the tracks. So with this in mind, when we think of, before we were kind of creating a visual image of a neighborhood, and we created a visual image of some houses in the neighborhood, in this case, though, when we think of heaven being one side of the tracks and the earth another, what do these instances have in common? The mansion that Bill Gates had built a few years ago. What about one of the poorest neighborhoods in Russia? What about a resort on the French Riviera? What about some of the smallest huts in Africa? What do all of these buildings, all of these homes have in common? In spiritual terms, all of these are on the wrong side of the tracks, are they not? Similar to the picture we had as we started out with the song, This world is not my home. This world being on the wrong side of the tracks, no matter how great the neighborhood we live in, no matter how great the house we live in, right now as we live in this world, in the spiritual sense, we are certainly living on the wrong side of the tracks. And that is the meaning that we're looking at as we consider some of these things tonight. Let's talk a little bit next as we move to the next area. While living on this earth as humans, we all live on the wrong side of the tracks for a time. And that's the way of life. But through Jesus, who is our Savior, we have a blessed hope of an eternal home in heaven with Him. In a minute then, we're going to touch on some of the negative sides of this earth and why this earth life is the wrong side of the tracks. But I think it's also important to realize that, of course, God created us. And as God created us, as well as the world, He created very positive things about us, and He created positive things about the world too. So I want to make sure that we present both sides a little bit of this. Let's look at some of the positive images we have of this earth and of this life too, because there are certainly many things we can enjoy in it. Talk for a minute about hobbies, for instance. Many of us get great pleasure from the different hobbies that we enjoy doing. Some of you are more creative and enjoy doing a lot of the creative types of things, maybe drawing or painting. That may bring you pleasure as you live on this earth. And that there is certainly nothing wrong with that. And many of the things that we're talking about here are outstanding things as we live. Musical. Some of you are very musical, and that brings you a lot of enjoyment. Others of you, it may be cooking, sewing, yard work. It may be gardening, flowers. Some of these things I've mentioned are pretty much off limits to some of us, and we wouldn't gain any enjoyment from it. But there are others of us that gain enjoyment from many of these things. Talk more about some of us gain enjoyment through intellectual activities. We enjoy reading. We enjoy doing research. We enjoy studying, collecting things. Many things along these lines as far as intellectual pursuits are certainly positive and bring enjoyment as we live here. We could think of physical activities. Some of us like to be active. We enjoy sports of different kinds. We enjoy exercising, hunting, fishing, things of this nature. We also have, some of us are very good at building things, at repairing things. You like to just putter around the house and fix whatever needs to be fixed. You get an engine that doesn't work, and you gain enjoyment by taking things that may be broken down, and through your own ingenuity, in a sense, it certainly is the gift that God has given you. You're able to fix these things. So these are some of the pleasurable things on this earth that we have. And of course, one of the things also to mention is relationships. We certainly can gain a lot of enjoyment and benefit while living on this earth through the relationship with other people. Relationship between the husband and the wife. Relationship between the father or the mother and the child. These certainly bring a great deal of enjoyment and pleasure in life. And there, again, are many positive and outstanding things we can gain from this. We also have relationships in terms of things, the influence or the example we have. It can be the example that you give to someone else. Or it can be the example that you see, the influence that you are influenced by as someone else lives. This is then another aspect, another avenue of this. The relationships that we have can be very beneficial and outstanding in this life. But one of the things we realize is that with many of the positives in life, there is also the pain that will come in this life as well. And this is inevitable. It can come in many different ways. Pain in this earth comes through a physical type pain, a spiritual type pain, emotional type pain. Only as we look for a home on the heavenly side of the tracks will we be able to know how to bear the different types of pain that come to us as we live on this earth. Only as we allow the Lord to eliminate this pain and transform it into eternal joy and bliss of heaven will we actually be able to enjoy these activities and enjoy the heavenly side of the tracks. We've mentioned several positive things, but also then we mentioned the fact that no matter how many positive things there are, this earth is, of course, not eternal. This earth life will end, and during this earth life, pain and other problems will occur as well. So let's talk a little bit about the negative side and what the Bible says in regard to this. We could go, for instance, to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Verses 19 to 21, many of you are familiar with this. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This then is talking about laying up of treasures. And as the song had mentioned, we are not laying our treasures up here, but we're laying them up beyond the sky. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, we of course are familiar also with the wise man and the foolish man. When we think about laying our treasures up, when we think about the right side and the wrong side of the tracks, we can certainly think of the wise man and the foolish man. And they can be the epitome of the examples of this. I will go ahead and just read through this very briefly. Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto the foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The wise man and the foolish man, the right side of the tracks and the wrong side of the tracks. As we consider our lives, may we also consider these examples. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. This is the image, this is the picture, as we have our choice as to where we lay our treasures and to which side of the track we begin to build our life. May we take these words to heart as we consider the world and all that is therein, and the fact that it will pass away, but he who does the will of God will abide forever. This paints a clear picture showing us why this world is the wrong side of the tracks. I would like to next go back and look at an Old Testament example of a man who experienced the world and all that it had to offer. And of course, the main example that we can consider with this would be Solomon. Let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes. And I would like to go through a few different passages from Ecclesiastes. So turn with me, if you would, to Ecclesiastes, the 1st chapter. I'm going to be looking at passages from 4 different chapters in the book of Ecclesiastes. And again, I think you would gain the most from it if you would go with me to these places. Again, we realize that Solomon, of course, we know to be a very wise man in general, or at least that's what we think of him being. But we know that this wise man who lived also made some very serious mistakes in the choices he made in life. We're going to begin in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 1 to 4. And then from this same chapter, we're going to look at 12 to 14. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor, which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. Solomon, as he lived, he began to see, as he got a little older and got a little wiser, that things that he had was going to pass away. The earth was going to continue to march on, and the life cycle would continue as well. People would come and follow him, but he would be gone. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Verses 12 to 14. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That was his conclusion, that he had seen it all, and it was all vanity. Let's continue on into the second chapter. And I would like to read the first 11 verses of this chapter. These go rather quickly, but we see a picture again of Solomon and some of the things that he had, and it was all vanity. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said, of laughter it is mad, and of mirth what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works, I builded me houses, I planted me vineyards, I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house, and I had also great possession of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasures of kings and of provinces. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. He had done it all. He had done all of these things, and there was no profit under the sun in this. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. Some more thoughts from Solomon. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 10. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This also is vanity. When goods increase, and they are increased that eat them, and what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? No matter how great our houses are, no matter what kind of cars we get, at the end, what really benefit is there? We get to look at them, as he mentions here. What is the benefit other than beholding them with their eyes? And at the end, that is the result. And we move to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, verses that we are all familiar with, as Solomon concludes his writings in the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. This is an example of a wise man, so-called Solomon. We also, of course, could consider the prodigal son. And I will not spend time tonight developing the prodigal son, but we realize that the prodigal son was similar to Solomon. In the sense that he wanted it all, he got his inheritance, he went out, and he spent it in riotous living. He spent it in the ways that he wanted to live, and in many cases he followed the glamorous life and was able to achieve that, if you want to call that an achievement. But at the end, we know that he hit the bottom. While in the sty with the pigs, he decided that this was not where he wanted to be. That even his servants, the servants of his father's house, had it better than he did. How much things have changed since the days of Solomon and since the days of the prodigal son. This is true on one hand, but how much have they stayed the same on the other? Still today, both boys and girls, men and women, fall into the same temptations of Solomon and of the prodigal son. They see the world and everything that it has to offer. They see the world on this side of the tracks, and they believe it to be something great and something to follow after. Especially to the young people that are here tonight, I would encourage you to not make the same mistakes that Solomon and the prodigal son made. We realize that, of course, we all have made some of these same mistakes. But there is no reason. We need to learn from the things that we have and the things that we have made, the mistakes we have made. But there is no reason for us to follow these same paths. Because at the end, as we get older, and when I say at the end, we may even discover this by the age of 25. We may discover it by 30. And it may be that we're in our 70s or older before we discover this. But at the end, I believe that most of us would conclude the same thing that Solomon and the prodigal son concluded. That vanity of vanities, all is vanity. As we attempt to live on this earth, and as we attempt to lay treasures here, on this side of the tracks, we will reach the same conclusions that Solomon and the prodigal son reached as well. In our lesson today, what we have used is we've used the phrase, the wrong side of the tracks. We've considered it being a dividing line, if you will. We have a dividing line in the city, if we talk about the wrong side of the tracks in terms of a city. We talked about it from a very large perspective, the wrong side of the tracks in terms of heaven and earth. But I think I would also like to bring out another instance or another way to think of this, and that is on a very personal level, we also could have a track that runs through us, if you will. Alexander Solzhenitsyn is a well-known Russian writer who has spent time imprisoned, exiled in Siberia in labor camps due to his views, writings, and standings against the government. In one of his writings, he wrote the following passage. "It was only when I lay there on rotting prison straw that I sensed within myself the first stirrings of good. Gradually it was disclosed to me that the line separating good and evil passes not through states, nor classes, nor between political parties either, but right through every human heart and through all human hearts. I nourish my soul there, and I say without hesitation, bless you, prison, for having been in my life." So as we think about this for a minute, here was a man who was in prison. And the realization that he came to was this right or wrong side of the tracks isn't something that actually runs through cities. It isn't through financial means, but it's something that can run through our hearts. There is the time that we're going to take a stand for the good or for less good, for the evil. It is in our hearts that we decide what types of persons we will become, what we will pursue in our life. This track is a personal thing. It is a community thing. It is a worldwide thing. However we choose to consider it from that perspective. But these tracks are certainly important to us. In our remaining time tonight, I'm going to take just a couple of minutes to consider about Abraham. As we think about living on this earth, we know that Abraham was one we find who sojourned on this earth. I would like to read from Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verses 8 to 10, a very short passage here. "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." We find here that Abraham sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country. Now, sojourn means to dwell beside, among, or by, and it also means to dwell in a place as a stranger. Abraham was a stranger. Abraham was a sojourner as he lived in this world because he looked for a city which hath foundations, a city whose foundations and builder and maker is God. As a Christian, I also and you also are sojourners in this world. We also are looking for a city. As a matter of fact, we have found that city whose foundation, whose builder and maker is God. I would like to go to the Ephesian letter for my last passage and look at Ephesians chapter 2. Beginning with verse 17, and I would encourage you, if you would, to follow with me to this passage. We're looking at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 17 through 22. As Abraham looked for a city, as he was a sojourner, I believe that we, as members of the body of Christ, the church is the city and the foundation whose builder and maker is God. We, as we sojourn on this earth, we sojourn among strangers, but certainly as we are in the church, we are not strangers, but we are fellow citizens with Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 17 to 22. "And came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself, being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. We see then this city that Abraham sought, that we also seek, and that is the foundation whose builder and maker is God, that of the church. May these words encourage us and help us to remember that as we look for a home, we are strangers and foreigners in this world, the wrong side of the tracks, but we are fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God. May we also be reminded and live by the words of the song that we spoke of as we begun. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. This concludes our lesson this evening in terms of the right side of the tracks and the wrong side of the tracks. Continue, if you would, to consider these thoughts, to understand what this world has to offer, and it is vanity, and to understand what heaven has to offer, and it is glorious. We take this opportunity then to offer and to extend the gospel invitation. To those of you who may be here tonight who are not yet a part of this foundation, not yet a part of this body of Christ, we give you the opportunity to come before us this evening, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, to be buried in the waters of baptism and to rise and walk in the newness of life. We give you that opportunity, or if you have other needs to bring before the group, we give you that chance as we stand and sing.